Hello and thanks for being with us. I'm Jolie and this is the latest Grazia Beauty Life Lessons, the podcast that asks women who really know about their beauty for their best tips, advice and ideas. This time, someone who started her career in banking in Paris, but who completely reinvented herself after finding the corporate world a little stifling.
I'm Freddie Harrell and I'm the founder of RatSwan.
Freddie Harrell launched her She Unleashed workshops in 2016, discussing issues around the female experience with her growing online community. Later, she added brand founder to her CV, launching her Afro hair extensions brand RatSwan. She calls it the conscious beauty brand built with and for the global African community. Coming up, Freddie warns against mixing and matching your lotions and serums. Be careful with how the things you put on your face could react with each other.
Like a lot of them are proper active chemicals. If you're not careful, like you know, the temptation is to use three serums and all of those things. Actually, it can be really bad. And I think I had like a lot of breakouts because of that.
Freddie gets a lot out of meditating. She says it's not always easy to do, but that the secret is to not put pressure on yourself.
I'm just like sitting in front of a river and I just want to look ahead. I imagine that all of my thoughts that come, they're just a passing boat. Like I just let them come, but I don't pay attention and I don't beat myself up for having these thoughts coming.
So let's get into the chat with RatSwan's Freddie Harrell. Hello, Freddie. Hi.
Hi. Hi, Jolie. Thank you so much for having me.
No, thank you so much for being on. I'm so excited about this and to chat to you about all things beauty.
Absolutely. Me too.
So maybe we kick things off with your new brand. Can you tell us a little bit about RatSwan?
Yeah, of course. RatSwan started as Big Hair No Care, which was a side hustle that I launched when my husband got offered a job in Geneva in 2016. And I just had to find something quickly to do. You know, at the time I was blogging and I always had this big hair and we never talk about it because I'm not a hair expert. But there were extensions I had designed for myself. I launched it as a business, just a side hustle. It got a bit too big for me to handle. So end of 2018, I paused it and really realized it was a lot more than hair. It's definitely a community first and a whole journey that we can share together. So with the help of my audience on Instagram, we've relaunched, we've rebranded it as RatSwan. And so this is what RatSwan is now. I want to say we really strive to be the leading conscious beauty brand built with and for the global African diaspora. And we are starting with synthetic hair extensions.
That's so exciting, Freddie. And I'm so excited for your new brand launch. And how would you describe your approach to beauty products in general? Are you low maintenance, high maintenance? Are you a beauty junkie who likes to try new things?
I think I'm a mix of everything. I think I'm definitely low maintenance, but I'm not sure what it means anymore. but I'm always trying new things. I like to try new things. But really, it's always with the objective to simplify my routine. I get confused with all of the steps, the different ingredients. So actually, I think the last few months, I've just tried to simplify it.
So let's kick off with your advice then. So I'm going to ask for your five best beauty advice. So maybe we start with hair. Obviously, you've recently launched RatSwan. What is your best piece of hair advice that you've ever been given or you have to give?
I think for me, the piece of advice for hair is something that I would have to give, especially when it comes to black hair. I think, you know, there's so much to learn. There's so much information out there. So many brands who try to educate, but, you know, there's also so many products. And I find that what worked for me, especially during lockdown, we all had this focus, this time to focus on our own routines, is to really lead with intuition. I like to approach my hair as like a garden, a bit of a bonsai. Try to see, you know, what it reacts to, speak to it. Just, I think intuition is so important. We can be so driven to read everything or try to do, you know, repeat what other people are doing. So developing intuition, I think, is the best thing to do.
I think that's such a brilliant piece of advice I haven't actually heard on this yet. And just getting to know your own hair rather than, you know, reading and digesting everything you might see online that might not work for you. I guess learning as you go along and maybe not putting too much pressure on your hair. Is that what you think?
Yeah, I absolutely think so. Because the first, you know, especially when it comes to black hair, every day we can hear about a new oil or a new ingredient that is good to have or that is bad to have. Some people, you know, wash their hair every week, some every 2 weeks, some every 3 weeks. There's so many different things. And we have, you know, our hair is so different. Even like within, just like on my head, there's probably two or three different curl patterns, like hair textures. So you're just going to drown with all of the information outside. So when I mean intuition, is yeah, exactly, just taking the time to, because we can be tempted to try so many things all the time. You haven't really spent the time to see what was working, what was not working. So carve some time out.
Yeah. And what are the products that you're like loving and using at the moment?
What I really, really love at the moment is the Afro Hair and Skin Co. hair butter. It's called Flourish. And it's so good. It's just, first, it's made of ingredients that are grown in the UK. You know, it's a brand, it's a British brand. It smells delicious. The packaging is beautiful. It's just natural and ethically sourced products. And it's just simple. You know, it does the trick. I find that when it comes to black hair, there can be a lot of different custards and cream and leave-in conditioner. Just to have a good butter. You know, just like back to simple things. So that's my favorite product at the moment.
And you just use that as kind of a spritz top me up whenever you need it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a bit, again, going back to the garden analogy. It's what I do. Yeah, I like to spray on my hair. It's like, I think, you know, also Afro hair comes back to life when it's like when you put water or just like a bit of spritz in it, you know, it's just gives it its lightweight again and brings some spring in the curls. And because of the of Ratswan and the products that I wear, so the lace front wigs, but you know, just like this protective style lifestyle that we have with alternating between hair extensions, but that you take out on the same day, you know, like most of the times I have just two strand twist or flat twist on my hair underneath. So that's how like the spray, you know, just to revive it, but very low manipulation. I try to not manipulate my hair too much.
Brilliant. Talk me through your best makeup advice, Freddie.
Keep it simple. I think when it comes to makeup, the advice I have is the, you know, it's actually like to find your style and how it fits with everything else. At the beginning, I was trying to kind of replicate some trends here and there, but actually me as a style, everything else is a bit, I'm a bit scruffy around the edges.
No, you know, you're
the
not.
Way I, like, no, but like what I mean is that like I'm just not that sort of like pristine, you know, like super makeup, when you're like makeup nailed, everything perfect. So I find that what really suits me is just it's just like no makeup makeup.
So low-key and simple.
Very low-key because I'm not very gifted at doing anything more than that.
And what about your kind of highlighter or concealer? Do you have any favorite products that you're using at the moment?
Yes. So my favorite concealer is from NARS. I love it's like the solid one, but you can also have it in liquid. The shade I love is called Amand. I love Amand. And then for the highlighter, I love this brand. It's called, actually, you know, I don't know if it's Bybee or BB. It's a British sustainable brand. And they, so, you know, like their packaging is you can recycle it, but also it's made of environmental friendly materials. And so it's BYBI. It lasts forever. I think I've had mine for like 2 years or something. And just a little bit goes a long way. So yeah, I really love this brand and that's my favorite highlight.
But is this one just like totally foolproof? You can just slap it on and go about your day and not worry.
Yeah, because it's not powdery. It's like a paste, a bit like your concealer.
So you can melt it into your skin and it kind of just becomes your skin, that kind of vibe.
Exactly. That's what I do first. I put it on my hand and then I can just, with my finger, put it on my cheek, just like subtly.
Love that. And you also mentioned then just about kind of environmentally conscious or consciously clean makeup products. Is that something that you look for across all of your beauty products?
I think it's definitely a plus for me. Like, it's something that will make me more, like, I'm more likely to try. But actually, I don't know, you know, like, when it comes to makeup, I think it's a lot easier to find those kind of products now. So I think for makeup, yes, I love to do that. But then when it comes to skincare, sometimes I feel bad about all of the packaging or, you know, like those really heavy bottles that, like, you're not going to use them again. So for skincare, I think it's it can be a bit harder. But for makeup, I really think there's so many options now that, I prefer that.
And just talking about skincare, let's go on to that as your third piece of advice then. What is your best piece of skincare advice?
Again, simplify. I was trying to do a lot, you know, like buy serums. And I bought a couple that, you know, some people were recommending, but actually, like, you know, it's quite dangerous. Like, a lot of them are proper active chemicals. If you're not careful, like, you know, the temptation is to use 3 serums and all of those things. Actually, it can be really bad. And I think I had like a lot of breakouts because of that. I don't really know. It's like, it's so hard to know, actually. So now I'm trying to just reduce the use of chemicals because I don't have the patience to really monitor if that's what's affecting me or not, or if that's working or not. So now I've just gone back to using just like, you know, like French parapharmacy brands.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that. Do you kind of gravitate towards those kind of more simplified, straight talking French pharmacy brands?
I do now, like especially like last year when I moved to New York. I don't know if it's the change of the weather or if it's also at the same time, like where I tried like new serums and that had all of those letters and those things that I didn't understand, but my skin started to break out a lot. And if I break out, then I just scar, you know, like black skin, dark skin is like, you know, it's so hard to come back from from breakouts. Like my husband like pops his spots. I would never do that. My skin can't afford that. So I think I had bought all of those things like brightening, toning, whatever, all of those things that are supposed to make your skin tone even. And it was just so tiring. And actually, like I read this advice online, you know, like this Facebook group again, where people were saying, actually, someone was saying, actually, like sometimes when you have a lot of acne issues or like you have a lot of breakouts, the way to come back from that is to simplify your routine and just to hydrate a lot. And when I think about it, that's the last thing that I would think of doing. So you just, you know, like you pile all of the acid, the drying things because you think, oh my God, why am I breaking out so much? And going back to just simple things, just like hydrating my skin.
I'm a big advocate of the same, of just simple skincare, not overdoing it or overstimulating.
Exactly. So that's what I've been doing. And I think it's because of that, like it's got so much. But I wouldn't say because I'm also pregnant. And so you know what they call like the pregnancy glow? I don't know, to be honest. But maybe my skin is doing better because of the hormones as well. That's the thing. Like it's so hard to keep track. I don't know.
Yes, Freddie. I love this idea of intuition though around beauty and your hair and your skin. Because I do, and I'm one for, I will, you know, read so many different things and think, oh yes, I want to try that and that and that. And I'll try so many things. And just before we move away from skincare, do you have any particular favorite products or brands? I know you mentioned French pharmacy brands. Have you got any particular favorite products?
Yeah, at the moment, oh, it's such a shame. I need to find the name. It's from La Roche-Posay. And there's this range that is just like a, oh my God, I will.
Is it the Effaclar range?
Yes. How do you know?
I love La Roche-Posay. I use a lot of their things.
Yeah, but they have so many ranges.
I know them all. I'm obsessed.
Yeah, no, I love this one. So I have the soap and the face cream with SPF because actually, like, it was quite hard. I wanted to find a moisturizer that has the SPF with it rather than having that as an extra step. So yes, this fringe has it, and I really like it. I really think that it has helped even my tone, my skin tone. Yeah, I really, really like this range.
Big fan of that range. And welcome back. I am here with the amazing Freddie, and now we are going on to number 4, which is wellness. So Freddie, what is your best piece of wellness advice?
It's definitely to lead with intuition there. And when I mean lead with intuition, it's really to block the noise, you know, from outside, and just like check with yourself what works for you. I think, like, you know, especially like wellness has become so trendy that you can read about people's routines or people's like recipe for success everywhere, and just like try to replicate them. You know, you have to journal, you have to meditate, you have to do this, you have to do that. And I feel like for me, it never works if it comes from a place of discipline. Actually, like, that's really the thing, is like remove discipline from it and just try to gravitate towards things that just make you feel good by the simple fact of doing them. So that's my advice. But you know, my practice around wellness is I actually like journal a lot, but I always have. But you know, like, I like writing, you know, like, I like the process of holding a pen and writing. I find that really relaxing. Like, that's just the person I am. I'm also very talkative, as you can see. So like, journaling has always worked for me. And I really love meditation, but I would say it took me, you know, at least like between the first time I tried to the first time I really made it a habit, I think there's been like 3-4 years in between. At the beginning, it was awful. I really couldn't do it. And I think that was because I was trying to be too methodical about it. Like, you know, this is how you should do it. You know, or just like being really like discipline based and get angry with myself if I can't shut up my head, which I can't.
You know? Yeah, and I find that like I almost put too much pressure on myself to be like, you should be relaxed by now. And if you're not relaxed, it's not working. So how did you kind of overcome that barrier?
So the way I do it, first, you know, I did 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, I did a Reiki training. So I'm attuned to level 1, you know, like Reiki is different levels. And I found that doing that first, it has completely changed the way that I can go into a meditative state. Before, it was a lot harder, and after doing the like the Reiki attunement, it's really actually easy. It's much easier. So this has helped. But I would say the way I've gone around it is that I have periods where I do guided ones, but often I don't do them anymore. Like, you know, I think now I've grown past that. I don't want to do it being guided. I do it because I enjoy the silence. I think at first it was like finding, what do I enjoy about it? Like, what's the point of it? You know, like, without making too much of a, you know, like changing subject. But for example, I've only recently started to enjoy yoga. And that's because it's only recently that I've understood, actually. It's like, oh, okay, hold on. It's not just like standing in poses. It's that at every inhale or exhale, you can push on, like, you know, a certain type of muscles, and then other ones when you exhale. It's just like the methodology of it. Because I'd never understood it before, I never got into it. I would see these women doing those shapes, and I'm just like spending my time staring at them. How can I do it right? You know, so like you just try to catch up. And I think meditation is the same. I think sometimes I just do it because I just want to enjoy the silence. And then to block out my thoughts, I try to, when I meditate, I try to visualize. I'm just like sitting in front of a river, and I just want to look ahead. I imagine that all of my thoughts that come, they're just a passing boat. So like, I just let them come, but I don't pay attention, and I don't beat myself up for having these thoughts coming. And I also trust, and I also tell myself that I trust that if there's an idea or something that I really need to think about that comes to my mind, that it's going to come back. Because I know that by doing this meditation, by allowing myself this peace, I'm definitely doing something good for me. So I'm not losing in a way by doing that.
Yeah, but it's like you say, it's finding things that work for you. And even those small acts of kindness, I don't know, being at taking a bubble bath, doing 10 minutes meditation, those small acts, as long as it works for you, just kind of finding your wellness groove, I guess, in that sense.
Yes, exactly. I find that gratitude is very helpful as well. For me, like meditation is just a way, it's like, you know, I give myself a break where I don't have all of those contradicting thoughts constantly firing in my head. So I'm just, you know, like trying to focus on, I usually put music, you know, I love like sound bath, and I try to just focus on the sound. But then the, I would say as well, like gratitude, I used to journal heavily on that, but sometimes I just make a note in my head. But you know, in the morning, just like think about three things I'm really grateful for. And now it's become such a habit that during the day, like throughout the day in my head, I often tell myself, you know, something that happened, I'm like, oh, thank you. Oh, this is great. Oh my God, I'm so excited for that. Oh, this is so lucky. Because, you know.
Oh, Freddie, I love that. That's such a nice way to live. And that's you're saying that's an active decision as well. So just kind of take that into every day where you're actively trying to have these positive thoughts and moments of gratitude.
Yeah. And don't feel bad. Don't beat yourself up if you have days where you just feel negative, because that's the trap as well. I mean, that's how I am. Like everything can go back to discipline, which is something I'm always trying to just, you know, recognize and stop. You know, then you feel bad for not feeling grateful enough, for not feeling happy, for not feeling, you know. And I try to also, that also makes a huge difference.
No, that's brilliant. Thank you for sharing that, Freddie. And it also leads us on, well, to number five, which is self-care. So yeah, maybe just, is it that your beauty routine is an act of self-care? Do you, you know, you mentioned earlier, you found that your skincare routine was quite meditative. So maybe it's that, you know, your self-care advice is to treat your beauty routine as little acts of self-care, perhaps.
Yes, absolutely. I think, you know, it's especially for someone who thinks they really struggle with like meditation. You know, I have a friend who's always telling me, Freddie, like, I would love to be able to meditate just like you do, but I can't. But then she's someone who does a lot of yoga. You know, she would just take a break during the day and do 45 minutes. Or, you know, she loves to cook. Like, I recently started to cook, but I mean, like, long story with that. And just being in the process, that is like a moment that you take out of your day and out of everything else. I really try to be in the moment, and I like to create myself, like when my husband called, you know, like some Freddy atmosphere, basically. It's like, oh, that's very Freddy atmosphere here. It's usually like I have my music in the background, like very nice, very just like nice playlist. Or I'm either trying at the same time to cook something, or even just like, you know, moisturizing my hair, twisting it, you know, at night. Or yes, or like this idea of doing my face routine that was really at the beginning of pandemic. I had a better bathroom where I could really spread myself. And doing this in the evening, you know, we were confined with our son, who was like 3 at the time, and like in a small flat. So this was definitely like a good escape. So self-care for me is like, how can you, it's just like a form of escape. It doesn't have to be painting your nails or doing something expensive, going for a facial. But for me, it's more like how to make your life bigger. How to frame your life as something bigger than the things that you have to do every day. So then your work, then your other responsibilities and duties. I find that sometimes I just need a much bigger context to keep me going, like, you know, like to not feel eaten or consumed by the things that I have to do. And and I find that self-care habits, if you can find something that just makes life more than that. So I don't know if I'm making sense, you know, but just like, yeah, like cooking or just like listening to a podcast, you know, like just sometimes I'm just going to write. I have nothing to say, but I just like the feeling of writing, just like pointless stuff like that. I find like they are a form of rebellion to just do pointless things, because we just have this idea that we should always optimize our time, be productive, always do something. And I like to catch myself like when I think like that, you know, sometimes I just have a moment of break and I'm like, oh my God, like how can I fill it with, you know, and you're just like, no, I'm just going to sit here.
It's like enjoying the pointless moments and that they are, you know, self-care in themselves. So not feeling bad for having a sofa day watching 10 episodes of The Crown or whatever it may be, just kind of taking that time and not feeling bad for it, because pointless moments, I agree, for me are totally forms of self-care. I call them duvet days, or, you know, days where you just let yourself off and you don't have to be productive. You don't have to be anything. You can just be.
Exactly. But I find it so hard, you know, it's like you do that and then sometimes if I manage to have like a whole lazy day, then at the end of the day, I have to fight the disgust feeling that I can have, you know, it's so bad. So that's why, like, I really think like removing discipline and really acknowledging that everything is a journey is so important, because it's really about how you improve yourself, how you learn to indulge more into the things that make you feel good, how you learn to, you know, carve out more time for pointless things. It's more like based on progress rather than how much did I manage to do all of that today. Because otherwise that's never going to work. You know, it has to be part of a journey.
And just putting less pressure on yourself.
Exactly. I really find that these different things that you could try to implement, they're actually a way to develop compassion for yourself, to have patience with yourself, just like, you know, which is something that we don't really do naturally. Like, you know, it's just like, no, like give yourself a break and be like, you know, like today you've done good. This is good. This is something that, you know, you should be proud of. You're going to do better. It's okay. Rather than always trying, I need to be a better person. You have to be better, better. It's not a nice relationship. It's not sustainable.
Well, I think that's a brilliant one to end on as well, Freddie. Just give yourself a break and be kind to yourself, for sure. Oh, well, thank you so much for sharing with us, Freddie. And I'm so excited for you and Radswan and all of the amazing things to come. So thank you so much for your time. And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you so much for the chat. It's been so, so nice. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So, so lovely to spend time with Freddie. I really enjoyed that and I hope you did too. Please, if you can, give us a rating on your podcast player and tell your friends about the podcast. Those recommendations really, really help us out when it comes to spreading the word. We'll be back next week with model, author and brand founder Charlie Howard. See you then.